Pocket News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Peter asks, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterwards, Cornelius asked him to stay with him for several days. Okay? Cornelius is a guy who knows about Yahweh, but he's got no roots. He doesn't have any deep understanding. He's going through the motions of worshiping a God he really doesn't know. He knows about. But the Holy Spirit sees his heart, so he brings Peter to give him the gospel, give him the message of forgiveness of sins, of Jesus dying on the cross, of the resurrection, of Jesus being the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls upon him, and now this rocky soil becomes good soil. You see? So we've had the seed falling by the road because of lack of understanding. And the Ethiopian eunuch has understanding, becomes a follower of Jesus, becomes good soil, and is very fruitful. Now we have the seed falling in the rocky places and not allowed, there's no roots there. But all of a sudden, Cornelius is growing deep, deep roots because the Holy Spirit has fallen upon him, and now he's become very good soil.
So he's giving us a dose of hope, saying...
Okay. The third soil falls among the thorns and the cares of the world and the anxiety choke it out. All right. Paul, in his travels to Greece...
The Apostle Paul.
He goes to a city called Thessalonica. Okay. It's a port city. Right on the Via Ignatia, which is a road that goes through Macedonia all the way to the Adriatic coast, and then you can cross by boat. It goes into the southern part of Italy, and it goes all the way to Rome. This is like I-95. Thessalonica is on I-95 all the way to Rome. It's a port city. All the grain that's coming from Egypt and other places in the Middle East is coming into Thessaloniki. There's a lot of commodities. And there's a lot of commodity stock investments, just like the commodity market. There's so much commerce going on in this city that the Romans put a mint there so they could mint coins to make the commerce flow. Okay? These are people that are concerned about what's going on in the world. They have, there's many get-rich-quick schemes.
Even back then, huh?
They're not working with their hands, because we know later Paul tells them to get a job and work with your hands and be content. They're a bunch of busybodies. And yet this is where Paul goes on his mission to Macedonia. He stays for about 3 weeks, he and Timothy and Luke and Silas, until there's a dispute that arises from the Jews who are sort of jealous of what Paul's doing. And Paul is basically asked to leave town. There's a riot, and he's asked to leave. Okay?
He created a riot?
He created a riot, right. So they were there, and then Paul was sent on to go to Athens. Okay? So we know the Acts 16 and 17, this is the story, and he eventually ends up in Athens. But he writes a letter, and it's probably a month or two later from when he's in Corinth. He writes a letter to his friends in Thessaloniki. And the question is, did the thorny soil get turned into good soil? Okay. This is what he says in chapter 2 of his letter.
Yeah.
For you know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but after we had suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness of God to speak to you the gospel of God amidst much opposition. For our exhortation doesn't come from error or impunity by way of deceit, parentheses, we're not trying to manipulate you, but we speak what we've been approved of by God and entrusted with the gospel, so we speak. We're not trying to please men, but we're pleasing God who examines our heart. We never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is a witness, nor did we seek glory from men. We didn't point you to ourselves, we pointed you to Jesus.
And they weren't collecting money.
But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children, having so fond an affection for you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become so dear to us. For you, brethren, recall our labor and hardship, how working day and night is not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And you're our witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behaved toward you believers. We modeled the Christian life. And as you know, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as the word of men, not as the word of men, for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, and as you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. So obviously, Paul developed a church there, and when I was there in 2001, we were standing in the an old church that was from, I think, the 8th or 9th century that's downtown in Thessaloniki, and this church, the church movement, is still thriving in this part of Greece. So here's an area that is that Jesus describes as thorny soil that actually became very good soil. All right? So.
Yeah, because a lot of us can be dissuaded by the parable of the sower. Like, oh, you know, there's no hope for this one, there's no hope for that one. And this corrects a lot of that.
Well, you're exactly right, because when you read the parable of the sower without reading the rest of the New Testament,
yeah,
you would think that Jesus is condemning or just saying that, okay, these guys are never going to make it. But yet the reality of what the apostles and the disciples did throughout the first century was they went to that soil that was beside the road, and they explained. They went to the rocky places, and they helped people develop deep roots that went down. They went to places like Thessaloniki, where there was commerce and the cares of the world, and they established a thriving church through personal relationships and caring for people and modeling and not manipulating, but just speaking the gospel in a very relational manner.
Instead of being arrogant like ignorant people who have read this and go around preaching fear and condemnation, as opposed to being a servant of those they encounter.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of that, you know, fire and brimstone stuff.
Yeah, I think the parable of the sower is Jesus giving us a clue as to what kind of soil we are going to encounter. And
well, I never heard. I'm so glad to hear this. Because
and
I always took it to be the negative.
Yeah, and I think he's giving us an encouragement that he can make that hard soil beside the road really good soil. Just look at you and me, okay?
yeah.
That he can take the rocky soil and allow people to develop deep personal roots in Christ.
Yeah,
and he can.
I was a rejecter of Jesus. I thought this foolishness.
Right. And people that are so caught up in the affairs of the world, and we know many in our town and in our community here, that these are people that all of a sudden can have a revelation and totally change their path. So to me, the parable of the sower is Jesus giving me a heads up of the challenge before me. And I'm to recognize what type of soil is, and then I'm to do my part to water and fertilize.
Yes, everyone you encounter.
So
we should be the servant. Paul said, esteem others greater than yourself, because, you know, I was in a church attendance for a group of very wealthy people that do believe in Jesus and follow him, and it's turned out that that church is a very friendly church. Well, when I first got there, a little bit of my prejudice, though I was brought up with wealth, and that changed later on, but so, you know, these people, so I've always kind of like, oh, you know, you're trusting in your money, like I'm some sort of judge. And then all of a sudden I get into this church where the people really do love other people, and they're not haughty or arrogant. And I think the Lord spoke to me and said, sometimes it takes great wealth to learn how poor you are. Jesus has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, but sometimes wealth can block you. So this is what came to me. Sometimes it takes great wealth to realize how poor you are. That's why you have some people who are sitting in mansions and alone, and then nobody goes to reach them, but they are reachable, just like the Muslims.
Right.
You know? we can reach them.
The reality is the thing that is significant the most in our lives is our relationships with the people around
us. Everything you say is about what I've learned late in life. And just recently I went to bed and I said, Lord, I said, do you, what happened with that? I said, do you want to be worshiped first, down on my knees, oh God, you're great, or do you want me to have her love you first? Thinking, you know, is he a God of lovers? And of course, it's funny, my eyes were opened up and it's like, of course it's love first. Mm-hmm. And that praise and worship and sacred worship is a fruition of a real love.
Well, the reality is our culture has been really bombarded by a philosophy that it's really centers on self.
I, me, mine.
And mankind is a source and the standard of morality. Truth is fluid for the situation.
Truth is fluid, yeah, flexible.
Each individual
You believe.
Yeah, each individual should decide what's best for themselves.
If it feels good, do it.
And pursue it regardless of the consequences, of their personal or societal consequences. And our culture tells us that personal happiness should be our goal in life. Well,
now who said that?
Actually, I said this. I wrote this in our newsletter yesterday.
Oh, did you?
And I thought, you know, because it really succinctly helps me understand what I'm up against.
If somebody wants that newsletter, where would they? How would they get it?
Go to seekthelamb.com.
SeekTheLamb.
And our May newsletter, May 2026, has an article that this paragraph is taken from. But I just wrote it down, and I think it's very helpful to see what are we up against. Right. We're not going to convince people the hard soil, the rocky soil, or the thorny soil by saying, the Bible says this.
Yeah.
No, we have to help them understand the paradigms that they're living in and help them suddenly shift their paradigms to a spiritual, biblical worldview paradigm, which is when that happens, everything changes. It's changed for you. It's changed for me. So
earn equity.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.